Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
That you and I want him to be. But we also dove into the truth that God is everywhere, even the places you don't want him to be. That God sees all. That there are no secrets from heaven, and there are no places that we can go or places we can hide outside of the eyes of God. However, when we talk about God with us, it is so much greater than the omnipresence of God. Because omnipresence means that God inhabits all space. It means that God is everywhere, and it means that God sees all. However, when we talk about Emmanuel, God with us, we are referring to powerful truths, church, something so much greater than just his omnipresence. When we say Emmanuel and God with us, we talk about the fact that the God of the universe put on flesh 2,000 years ago and came to this world to die on a cross. When we say God with us, we talk about that God lived and walked with mankind physically for 33 and a half years, not to show us how to die, but to show us how to live. You know, we make such great proclamations about the crucifixion. And of course, there is no resurrection without the crucifixion. But our Catholic peers would love to show you Jesus is still on the cross. But I've got good news for you. Jesus is not on the cross anymore. Resurrection has taken place. Jesus is off the cross. Jesus has all keys to death, hell, and the grave. He rules at the right hand of the Father with all power and all authority. So when I say God is with us, I'm really declaring he is not on the cross. He was born in a manger. He went to the cross, but he came out of the grave with everything that we need. When we say that God is with us, we are saying that there is no distance between heaven and earth that can separate us from the love that is Jesus Christ, both physically and spiritually. Can I remind everyone in the room and online tonight, it does not matter anything you've done, because he came to us, because of what Jesus did, nothing can separate us from the love that is Jesus Christ. And then finally, when we talk about God with us, we are saying that there is not anything in this world that can separate us from his presence. And I know it's Christmas time, and this starts off as a Christmas passage because of the Emmanuel and because of the virgin that becomes pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But I want to encourage you, the Jesus that was born in a manger, grew up, died on a cross. And when he died on the cross, the veil in the temple that separated the holiest of holy places from everywhere else in the world was ripped from top to bottom as a symbol that God said, there is never going to be another time that something can separate you from the presence of God. You don't have to have a priest go for you. You don't have to send a prayer with someone else. You don't have to lock yourself in a confessional box and talk to an imperfect priest. But now you and I, any day of the week, any time of the day, can get to God. There is nothing that separates us. There is nothing that keeps us out of the presence of God. You will always have access to his presence. That's what worship is. It's us stepping into the presence of God. It's us taking moments to say, God, where I have been without you does not compare. Now that I have found my time and my place in you, there is nothing like the presence of God. And so when we say God with us, it is so much greater than just saying that God is everywhere. It is saying that God is close to me, and there's nothing that can keep us separated from Jesus Christ. So he said, you will call him Emmanuel. Emmanuel comes from the Greek rendering of two Hebrew words, Emmanu, which means with us. and El, which means God. And so when you put Emmanuel together, it means the God that created the universe, the Jesus that died on the cross and rose again, and the Holy Spirit that was given in the book of Acts. All of those in one form or another show up, and not only are they available to us, but we get to live with them, we get to work with them, we have those resting on us and flowing through us. And so when we say Emmanuel, it's not a Christmas word. It's a July word. It's a Monday word. It's an anywhere you need it revelation. One of the miracles, church, that should be embraced and celebrated daily is the fact that when we could not get to God, that God came to us. That should be embraced and celebrated, because as good as you think you are, you could not get to God without Jesus. And so God said, I'm going to take the middleman out. The Old Testament had high priests. The Old Testament always had Moses or a Joshua standing between them, the people of God, and God's presence. But here in the New Testament, when Jesus splits the timeline and is born in a manger, I am so grateful that when I could not get to him, he came to us. We ought to celebrate it every day that Jesus came to us. From the beginning of creation, church, God's desire to be with us and us with him has been a priority. Because before the Gospel of Matthew was ever written, where Matthew tells us, reminds us of Isaiah's prophecy, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, then the man and his wife, Adam and Eve, heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? From the beginning of creation, church, God's desire was to be with Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve with him. And when they committed sin, instead of running to the answer, they hid and ran from the answer. I am here to encourage somebody today in the room and online that no matter what you have done, I want you to run to Jesus. I want you to remember that God came to this earth to seek and save that which is lost. There is nothing that you did on Friday night that, listen, you say, well, God is going to be disappointed in me. Oh, God might be disappointed, but it doesn't change his love. It doesn't affect how far he's reaching for you. He still has a plan for you. And since the beginning, if he was looking for Adam and Eve after they sinned, it wasn't to scold them. It was to forgive them, but they ran away. But I love this. One of the curses of the fall and the sin that Adam and Eve committed in their life was God said, you cannot stay in the Garden of Eden anymore, and he kicked them out of the garden. But the one thing that he did not take away from them was his presence. He said, you can't stay here, but wherever you go, I'll be. Oh, come on now. That's a good place to say amen. One of the worst things God could have done is he could have said, I'll leave you in paradise, but I'm taking my presence back. I'm not going to give it to you. But I love the fact that even at their lowest point in life, he said, you cannot stay here, but I will not withhold my presence. Wherever you go, that is where I will be. And whenever you need me, I will always be one call away. From the beginning of time, he said, I just want to be with you. Sin comes in, and the definition of sin is anything that separates us from Christ. So when sin comes in, it separates us from the whole reason Jesus came to earth, which was to be with us, to have relationship with us. Jesus has to be bigger than a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning. Relationship takes every day, takes communication, takes time spent with. Listen, I want to encourage somebody today. The greatest gift you can give Jesus this year is your time and who you are, and say, God, it's not going to be Sundays and Wednesdays, but I'm going to give you my life. He kicked them out of the garden, but he did not take his presence away from them. So since the beginning of time, God, in his grace and mercy, has done his best, and his desire is to be with us and us with him. And until the end of time, God's desire is to be with us and us with him. and it's always been his priority. You go to the second to last chapter of the entire Bible in John's Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, and this is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. The next few verses talk about this is a place where there will be no more crying, no more wars, no more tears. I am here to tell you, God started the entire process saying, I want to be close to you. And at the end of the ages, he is still saying, I want to be close to you. You realize when you and I go to heaven, at the end of our lives as believers, we get to be close to God forever. Check this out. God didn't save you because he didn't want you to go to hell. God saved you because he wants you to go to heaven. Why does he want you in heaven? Not to escape hell's flames. He wants you in heaven because he wants you close to him. He wants to be with you. He wants to have relationship with you. See, that's why I can't in my finite mind think of how heaven is going to be, but I can't wait to get to a place where there is no longer anything that is going to separate me from God, because every day of my life, this old world tries to drag me back to who I used to be. It tries to put things in my life that are going to separate me from God. And I know you go through the same thing. And that's why a relationship with God on this earth is important. But one of these days at the end of your life, you leave this earth, you step into heaven, and there's no more wars. There's no more crying. There's no more thoughts of your past. There's none of the craziness that always gnaws on us in this life, and we will be with him, Emmanuel, God with us. But at the end of the process, if you live as a believer and accept Jesus as your personal Savior, it's not going to be God with us. It's going to be us with God. And that is what we strive for. He came to us so that we could be with him. Matthew's gospel has a theme that is woven throughout the entire book, and that is God's presence. God's presence. Let me say that again. If you only write down two words this entire sermon or message or series in your Bible or in your journal or notebook, write God's presence. God's presence is what's going to transform the world. God's presence is what's going to bring revival. God's presence is what's going to bring healing and deliverance. God's presence is what we want in worship. God's presence is what we want on Sunday morning. The entire reason we worship is to get God's presence. The reason we fast, God's presence. The reason we pray, God's presence. Everything that I need is found in his presence. If everything we need is found in his presence, then why do we look for everything we need in other places and Jesus becomes our last option? Jesus is not my last option. Jesus is the only option. I have tried other things and they could not do what Jesus did. I have tried other relationships and they left me void, frustrated, mad, and empty. But when I tried taste and see that the Lord is good. When I found Jesus in his presence. That's why it's important that you don't come to church, you come for his presence. That's why you can't offend me out of church, because I'm not here for you, I'm here for his presence. That's why gossip doesn't bother me, because it's not about what you say, it's about his presence. And what most churches are missing today is an all-consuming presence of God. And so when I call him Jesus, and when we call him Emmanuel, and we say God with us, it is not Santa Claus has come to town. It is the Holy Spirit of God has consumed the place that I reside. And when I say God with us, it's not for what he can do for me. It's God, your presence is full of everything that you are. If you've never lost track of time praying, you've never pressed into that kind of presence. If you've never been the last one to leave an altar, oh, I know I'm going to step on some toes. These last two or three Wednesday nights, some of you have jetted out right when the altar call starts. And let me tell you something, God didn't really start moving until 8:35, 8:40, when people were still laid out on this altar. What are we talking about? A presence that they stepped into that evidently everyone did not. I want to encourage somebody today, when God shows up, his presence is not about the things that you need. It's about the God that he is. The presence was so strong in the Old Testament that if a high priest went in that had sin in his life, that was unrepented for and unforgiven, he would be struck down by the presence of God, and they would literally drag him out with a rope and look for the next priest. Don't you know that priest number two on the depth chart, when they drag out priest number one, don't you know he was a little concerned? Don't you know he was like, hey, give me 2 minutes real quick, and then I'll go in the Holy of Holies. Hey, God, real quick, I just want to make sure me and you are okay, because I'm getting ready to go in there. And that's word, right? That's what happens. The presence of God is so strong. If it could kill a man, it can kill any addiction you have. Check this out. Resurrection and crucifixion are about the same thing, the ability to control life. So the same God in the Old Testament and the same God in the New Testament before Jesus was crucified and the veil was ripped from top to bottom, the same God that controlled life that way is the same God that can bring new life. So in his presence, forgive those that lose themselves and have big tears running down their face and have to be helped back to their seats because it looks like that they're 6 or 8 shots in on ladies' night and they're staggering back to their seat. Forgive them. Why? Because they're in the presence of God. God is with them, not just around them. They're literally becoming what God has destined them to be, all because, boom, God's presence. Those two words, God's presence. It's the theme of Matthew's gospel. God's presence that isn't just carried, but at work in the person of Jesus Christ and the disciples, which is expressed in the book of Acts. We are a New Testament church that preaches a full gospel, that talks about repentance that leads to salvation, that talks about water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and also talks about the infilling of the Holy Spirit that is given to us in the book of Acts. All three of those are talking about the presence of God. And the presence of God in 2022 has been trivialized by TV preachers and so-called parking lot prophets into tricks and parlor tricks and smoke and mirrors. But I am here to tell you, the presence of God is going to transform your life. If you ever get in the presence of God, you will never go back to how you used to be. If you ever get in the presence of God, there is no mistaking the presence of God for good music, or a good sermon, or goosebumps. Sometimes the presence of God gives you goosebumps, but every time you feel goosebumps, it's not the presence of God. Because if you remember when you were 17 years old and that young man said something nice to you, you got the same butterflies and goosebumps. Just because they played your three favorite songs and hit every note that they should, and you felt was the vibe of the music. Bruno Mars and Michael Jackson can do the same thing to you if they play your favorite song. The presence of God doesn't make you feel good, it makes you feel God. And his presence, when I feel God, sometimes, check this out, it doesn't make me feel good. Sometimes his presence convicts me. Shouldn't have acted like that yesterday. Shouldn't have said that this morning. Shouldn't have been on that website this afternoon. Should not have gone to that place. Should not have had that thought. You know, I shouldn't have talked about my boss that way. That's gossip. Sometimes his presence convicts. And if conviction is handled the right way, it will lead to good. But some of us can't handle conviction because sometimes conviction is another C word. It's called correction. And if you can't handle correction, most likely you are not handling conviction. And if you're not handling conviction, you are not changing to become more like Christ, which is why he came to us. He is with us, Emmanuel, so that we now have an illustrated example. This is how I'm supposed to be. Conviction, correction, change. Some of us never get to the change because we think the conviction is, or we think the presence of God is always going to make us feel good, but sometimes it makes us look in the mirror before it makes us feel good. Sometimes, talking to a gentleman I was doing some business with, outspoken Christian, which is rare in my line of work outside of this church, and I love it. He said, you know, most people in 2022, and he was talking about the United States, he said most Christians, they only love God when he's given to them or patting them on the back, but the Bible talks about that God chastises those he loves. So the chastising, conviction, change, causes us to become like Jesus. I'm almost done for tonight. It's not just carried the presence of God, but it's the work of the person of Jesus Christ and his disciples expressed in the book of Acts, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And there's three verses in Matthew 18 where he is literally talking about Emmanuel. One at the beginning of Jesus' life, one in the middle of Jesus' life, and one at the end of his earthly life and ministry. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. They were engaged, y'all. He had already put a ring on it. But before they came together, she found out she was pregnant. How many of you know that's a problem when you keep telling everybody you're a virgin? Oh, don't act like you ain't watching Netflix series and Real Housewives, and they said virgin in church and everybody clams up. She's engaged to be married. She finds out that she's pregnant, and this is how the rest of that verse reads. She found out to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. How many of you are spiritual people? Just raise your hand. I'll raise my hand. I'll raise both. I believe I'm a spiritual person. But if Mandy were to end up pregnant, number one, that would be an act of God at this point. But if she were to end up pregnant, and I know it's not mine. You say, Pastor, this is too real. Oh, this is Bible stuff, guys. And I were to say, well, whose is it? And she says, it's the Holy Ghost. I would say, I don't care what you call him, but I need to know his name because I'm going to get his address. And I'm going to go lay hands on no man suddenly. I'm going to take my time. Can you imagine that God said, I want to be with my people, but I can't come to my people through a man-made way because they've already proven they can't handle my presence. And so if I come through man, they're going to pollute my presence. And what I see in 2022 is a pollution of the presence of God. And I want Living Way to be so full of the presence of God, an unpolluted presence, that when you come on this campus, before you ever get to an altar or your seat, that out in the back spot of the parking lot when you drive in, you can feel the presence of the Lord. I want testimonies that while people were getting out of their cars, they're getting healed, filled with the Spirit, delivered, that they're getting saved on the sidewalks. I want those kind of testimonies. Joseph said, you're pregnant. He said, I'm pregnant. We got to talk this out. We're engaged. You claim to me that you're a virgin, that you've never known a man. Now you're telling me that you're carrying a child, but it's not man. You were impregnated. You were conceived this child through the Holy Spirit. Let me just say this real quick. The fact that you came to Jesus is a miracle. You think of all that you went through. The fact that you're sitting here tonight. The fact that you said yes to Jesus. The fact that you repented. The fact that you, let me just talk about me. The fact that I had a moment in my life where I said, God, I am wrong. There is no way I can get right. And you're the only way I can get right. The fact that we came to Jesus, miracle. However, the first in a long line of miracles is that Jesus came to you. There is no us coming to Jesus unless Jesus comes to us. But how he chose to show up on the scene is a miracle. He came through a virgin, which leads me to this point tonight, church. Time spent with the Holy Ghost will make you pregnant. Time in the presence of God will make you pregnant. Some of you don't like that word pregnant. Pregnant means, I've heard people say, I'm expecting. Catch it now. Let's change that word pregnant because that makes you uncomfortable. Ladies, it makes you really uncomfortable because you remember. You don't even want to joke around with that word lest you call those things that are not as though they are. Time with the Holy Ghost builds expectation. Time with the Holy Ghost builds expectation. Check this out. Jesus was coming to this world whether Joseph got on board or not. If Joseph said, forget you, Mary, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be the laughing stock of Jerusalem and Bethlehem. I'm not going, Nazareth is not going to laugh and ridicule me. I'm out. You think God would have said, well, Jesus, you can't, come on back. Come on back. You can't go. But sometimes the plan God gives us, when people laugh at it, ridicule, walk out on us, we tend to think that the plan hinges on them. The plan of God does not hinge on any one person in your life. If God told you you're going to be pregnant, carry a baby, and have a baby, you better get the nursery ready. You better get the gender reveal party ready. Because if God said you're going to have a baby, whether Joseph complies or not, you're going to have a baby. Check this out. This is what God is saying. Joseph, I didn't need you to make the baby. I don't need you to keep the baby. I don't need you for her to have this baby. You can come along for this ride and journey, or you can go on, but Mary's going to have this baby. Time spent with the Holy Spirit builds expectation. If I could encourage you with this, stand on your feet while you're standing. If I could encourage you with this, we have 24 days left in this year. I'm going to encourage you to double up your prayer time. I'm going to encourage you to double up your time spent with God. Why is that? Because you're getting ready to start a new year. New year comes with New Year's resolutions, new goals, new visions, new plans. But listen, if I want all of that, I want to make sure that my expectation is right. I don't want to think too small. I've always been an avid reader, but I've done a lot of reading in 2022 ever since COVID came. Stole our time. I invested myself in reading again. I'm in a book right now. It's a secular book written by a secular man, but he is an unbelievably successful person. And what I found out is all of these secrets of his success are all biblical principles. And his main thing is this in this book: you're not dreaming big enough. Check this out. He talks about money and he says, would you rather have small goals you can obtain, or would you rather miss big goals? Illustrated like this. Would you rather say, by the end of this year, I'm going to make $100,000, or by the end of this year, I'm going to make $1 million? He said, if you meet the first goal, you made $100,000. If you try to meet the second goal, what if you only make $800,000? It's eight times bigger than the small goal. And that's of the least most important thing we have, which is money. I'm telling you, the next 24 days, God with us. We're celebrating him in a manger, but let's remember he grew up. Let's remember he is the God of the universe. Let's remember his Holy Spirit dwells in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now on the inside of us. I'm going to spend time with him to make sure his vision is in me, that it's big enough, that I'm dreaming big enough, that I'm reaching for big enough things. Man, I wish I could tell you what I want to do through this church and with this church and with this ministry and what I believe God is going to do in the next 20 or 30 years here. But listen, I've got to make sure that it is God's plan. But it is so big that we're going to need millions upon millions of dollars. We're going to need thousands of volunteers. And I look and I say, God, how are we going to do this? And God is saying, Brandon, I didn't need you to make the baby. I don't need you to keep the baby. And this baby is going to be born with or without your help. Do you want to be a part? Yes, Lord. God, if you're with it, if you're here, I'm with you. God with us with him. I only got to the first one tonight. Holy Ghost builds expectation. I want to talk to those of you that have vision in the house tonight that is unfulfilled. I want to talk to those tonight in the room that have promises that have not yet manifested. I want to talk to those that have dreams that are still in your head but not in your hand. If that is you, I need you to get out of your seat. I don't want you to contemplate it. I don't want you to look down and think about it for the next 60 seconds. If you've got unfulfilled dreams, vision, goals, if God is speaking to you things that have not yet happened, get out of your seat and join us in this altar. If you're running a camera, let go of the camera, put the headset down, and come to this altar. If you're playing an instrument and you need to come, Tyler's going to be mad at you, but come on anyway. If you're a leader, come on anyway. If you're an usher, come on anyway. If you're part of our pastoral team, come on anyway. God with us, yeah, he's with us. But I'm with him. I'm with him. God, I just want to be a part of whatever you're doing. In my mind, this altar is playing out just like I was hoping that it would, that people would hear the revelation as simple as it is, but realize that God is with us, that he came to us, and he's no longer the baby in the manger, but he has grown up. He said, what are you waiting for? There's more to life. Once you said yes to me, there's more to life. There's more. Your family, your future, your friends, your city, your company, your ministry. As I get ready to pray, I want our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands. As you begin to lay hands on these, I want you to begin to prophesy the visions and the futures and the goals and the dreams. For those of you in this altar, I want you to lift both hands if they're not already lifted, and I want you to start talking to God. And what Jaden sang earlier tonight, God, I'm here to make room. God, you came to us. God, I'm making room. I'm not going to be guilty of not having a place for you to set up shop in. I'm not going to be guilty of not having a place for you to live in, God. But I want to direct your attention to everyone in the room to this. If you've never said yes to Jesus, God with us. Oh, he's with you. He's in this room today. But if you don't know him as Savior and Lord, this is your moment. The whole reason he came to earth, the whole reason the manger with Mary and Joseph, the whole reason the cross and him bleeding, bloody, dying on that cross, the whole reason we have Easter, the resurrection, the coming to life of Christ after 3 days in the grave is because of salvation. And once you say yes to Jesus and repent in your life, everything changes. If you've never said yes, this is your moment. If you said yes a long time ago, but your life has not lived up to that declaration, and maybe you talked to him about being a Savior, but you never made him your Lord, this is your moment to rededicate. I'm going to ask you to leave your seat and join us. We're not going to embarrass you. We're going to encourage you. We're your biggest cheerleaders.